Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome to the Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM, your local radio station, with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. Tonight we have another in our new exciting series of programmes in which we try to find out more about the local branches of the Christian Church. There's only one Jesus Christ and only one Christian Church, but it does come in all shapes and sizes, in many styles and varieties. The family tree has many branches, and the ice cream comes in many flavours. So far, we've had the Pentecostal pastor, the Presbyterian parish minister, and tonight we have live in the studio the Baptist minister, the Reverend Vince Jennings. He's the minister of South Beach Baptist Church in Saltcoats on Ardrossan Road near the seafront. So, welcome Vince, and thanks for coming into the 3TFM studio. So, how are you today?
Great, thanks Alec. Good. Yeah.
Can I just clear up a wee small detail at the beginning? You are minister rather than pastor?
Depends who you speak to. A lot of the older folk, it's minister. Newer folk, it's pastor. But I answer to either. As long as it's polite, I answer to it, Alec.
So if folk meet a Baptist minister, you could say either, sort of.
Could say either, yeah.
So how long have you been at the South Beach Baptist Church?
Coming up on 13 years now. It'll be 13 years beginning of August.
Right. Yeah. How long have you been a Baptist minister?
I was ordained 4 years before that. So,
where did you do the first 4 years?
Renfrew Baptist Church.
Right.
I had 2 years as student pastor, 4 years ordained there, and then came here.
So 13 years, you must be settled in by now.
Beginning to, they haven't tumbled me yet, Alec, you know.
Are there many Baptists in the three towns? Where's the next Baptist church to this one, sort of thing?
The next one would be Irvine. There's two in Irvine, and then going up the way, I suppose you're talking about Greenock. There is a small Baptist church on Arran as well.
And are there many Baptists throughout Scotland?
Quite a number. I suppose relatively, compared to other churches, we're a smallish number. You get to know that when you go to assemblies and conferences and you realise you know just about every face there. But yeah.
But what about throughout the world then?
Throughout the world, it's estimated that those that go under the name of Baptist are the largest Protestant denomination worldwide.
Where would most Baptists be then? Is this America?
There's quite a lot in America, but they are spread all over the world thanks to the Baptist Missionary Society and their foundations. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just sort of briefly, how did Baptists start up? How old an organisation is this?
Right, the first Baptist church would have actually traces its foundation back to 1609. And that was complicated. It was an English Baptist church in Holland. They were a separatist movement that were basically kicked out in about 1607 and formed in 1609 as a Baptist church. In fact, there's big celebrations this year in Amsterdam for our 400th anniversary.
They were kicked out of England and worshipped in Holland.
That's it, yeah. Technically, it was an English Baptist church because there was no Dutch members there. It was just an English separatist movement that worshipped there.
And how long have there been Baptists in Scotland then, would you say?
In Scotland, we're unique. We have very much a separate history. Some argue that the Baptist movement came up here with Oliver Cromwell's lot and his army. The reality is when his army went back down south, so did the Baptists. And so the Baptist movement up here formed with in Keese, with the laird there, who for some reason or other had hold of Baptist ideas and used his estate as his estate chapel for Baptist worship. It came through a pastor, Jack Glass, not the Jack Glass now, but this is a much older one, who, because of separatist ideas, was removed, shall we say, from the Church of Scotland. And other movements through the Haldanes and that, which eventually came together and then realised they were Baptist churches in fellowship with the English Baptist churches before. It didn't really form from up there as a separatist movement up here.
Yeah. So I've asked Vince and all the interviewees in this series to pick music that would reflect something of their style of worship. So what's the first one you've chosen, Vince?
It's You Are the Everlasting God. The version I've chosen from it is Chris Tomlin, because that seems quite a good one. But we sing this one quite often. It just reflects God's glory as we come into worship.
Okay, so let's hear it now.
Right, well, Alec,
where were you born, for example?
Won't surprise you to know I was born in the East End of London, well, just outside in Essex, in Barking. Been up here since, in Scotland, that is, since 1974. So I now refer to myself as a Scotsman with a speech impediment, but we get away with that. I was brought up in a non-church family, moral, but not a church family. And
they weren't Baptist then?
No. They would put on their any forms that were necessary. They'd put C of E, but never went. And so I didn't go to church either. And it was I was about 19 when I was first sent up to Glasgow. I was in the Merchant Navy, and I was sent up on a course. I developed some rather unfortunate habits, mainly coming out of a bottle, and had quite a dependency problem even at that age. And it was through that that I eventually went along to a church in Glasgow. Some friends invited me. It was Queen's Park Baptist Church. Over the time, I came to faith in Christ, and the rest, I suppose, is history from there. Yeah.
So you've travelled quite a long way in the journey of life.
Quite a way.
There was a big dramatic Damascus Road sort of turning point in this?
Very much so, Alec, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'd certainly started cutting down on the alcohol. I'd started trying to get friends with folk in the church. I'd even gone along to a midweek Bible study, and even went as far as buying a Bible, and that was quite radical for me. And I think if anybody had asked me at the time, are you a Christian, I'd have said, well, of course I go to church. But it was a baptismal service at the church that the Lord really spoke to me, and I just went forward and gave my heart to him then, and realized that it required repentance and acceptance of Christ. And so that was in 1974.
It's a bit of a leap from being a Baptist member to becoming a Baptist minister. So how did your journey transpire to
that journey point? From there went through various jobs. I left the Merchant Navy, and I was working as a maintenance engineer ashore. I'd gone back down to London just for a short while then, and had a couple of spots as maintenance engineering. I had a time in the police force, just a short while. I was self-employed as an engineer after that, and general handyman. Had a stint at lorry driving, and then in 1982, I went into the Fisherman's Mission and worked with the Fisherman's Mission up until going to college to train for the ministry.
And you graduated as a minister. When was that?
Oh, now you're asking, Alec. That was. Try 13 plus 4, what's that, 19 years, is it? Yeah.
No, 17.
17 years, thanks, Alec. Maths never was my strong point.
Yeah, so that gives us a wee flavour for you, the man, but we're thinking primarily about the denomination tonight, and you're a representative of it, but you're a very good representative of it, because the Baptists are very strong about coming to faith and Damascus Road turn around and believers' baptism and all that, and we'll hear more about these things in a moment, but let's pause for some other music. It's Chris Tomlin again, singing Holy Uncreated One. Was there a particular reason why you chose that one?
It's one we've been singing quite a lot recently in our worship services. And again, it's that focus, as in the Everlasting God, the first one, there's this focus on the holiness of God. Lay down yours, my
is not like you. Jesus, save your
Vince, if somebody walked in off the street into the Baptist Church on a Sunday morning, what would await them?
I suppose one of the most important things that awaits them is the welcome that we hope they would get from those at the door. It often amazes me when people give testimony and ask, why did you continue to come to the Baptist Church? And I always expect them to say it was the wonderful preaching, the excellent minister. And 9 times out of 10, it's the welcome they got at the door when they came in. It's been modernised inside. There's soft seats rather than pews. When we did the modernisation, which was at the millennium, at the turn of the century, we specifically put a motto on it, that it would be warm, welcoming and worshipful. And that's what we hope is the atmosphere that we engender when people come in. As far as the service goes, then usually we have somebody else from our congregation leading the worship. I always preach, but usually there's somebody else leading. And that way we can get quite a variety of different styles.
It's not just one or two folk who lead, it's a wide number of folk who lead.
There's probably about 6 or 7 on our list who we use at different times.
And they don't have an official title or anything?
No.
They're just people from the
Just
seat.
People that we've noted have that gifting to lead. And they just put the service together in a style that suits them. And so it means that when people come in, if they find that the style is not really suitable to them 1 week, then the next week they might find it very different. It works quite well. We usually use...
Is the style of worship quite varied from 1 week to another? Is there a lot of spontaneity?
Relatively. We are, of course,
You don't
limited.
Print an order of service?
No, we certainly don't print an order of service. We don't use hymn books. Everything goes up on the screen, the PowerPoint. That way, it has twofold. It means that we don't have to have people shuffling around different hymn books if we decide to use other songs. And also, Alec, you know what it's like. It also means that the people can't actually see when the hymn or the song was written. And it is wonderful when you put some of the old classics up and you get young folk in the church who've not actually looked at when it was written and come and say, what a wonderful new song that was. And it works the other way as well for older folk.
It also has the advantage their chins are up, they're not singing into
That's right, they're singing up. We always have keyboard, couple of guitars, often an oboe and a bass guitar, and 2 or 3 vocalists up the front as well, leading the worship.
So there's a degree of structure, but a degree of ad-libness.
Yes.
Degree of modern, a degree of traditional.
Very much so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Often in the same service.
And do you have a big pipe organ?
No, no. It's one of these Clavnova keyboards that we use, which seems to approximate most things.
Yeah. And a praise band. You've also got high-tech things?
Yeah, we started off always recording our services on cassette tape, which was useful for people that couldn't get out, people that missed one in a series of sermons, for our shut-ins, elderly, sick. We then moved on to videoing some services, and now we use a DVD. It's a DVD, isn't it, that we use? And that records most of the services, certainly in a series of them. And these go out all over the place. I've heard of ones being posted out to Jamaica, New Zealand, just people that know people and send these worship services out. It's quite amusing, actually, Alex. Sometimes somebody said they were away at some youth camp, and they used a series of talks on DVD for the meditations at the youth camp, and they were quite surprised to find it was actually their own pastor that was doing it, because unknown to me.
Yeah. I take it you don't wear robes?
No.
And is it quite sort of clap-happy, folk jump about, or do they just sit in the seats? Or?
When appropriate, there's a lot of movement, a lot of dancing, raising hands at times, and clapping. When it's appropriate, we never make people feel uncomfortable if they do or uncomfortable if they don't.
Yeah.
Sometimes if there's a series of songs, one after the other, people might take the option to sit rather than stand for different songs. It's quite free in that sense.
Right. Well, let's hear some more Baptist music then. What have you got this time?
Right, this time we've gone for one of the songs of fellowship, ones we use quite often, Consuming Fire, pointing out that there really must be more to life than this.
Fan into flame, a pair.
So I'm talking to Vince Jennings, the Baptist minister, tonight, and we've been thinking about your style of worship, Vince, but let's move the subject to your beliefs and your practices. So the Baptist Church is famous for its views about, obviously, baptism.
Yeah. Yes, one of our primary things is we uphold the Word of God as being the Word of God. And in study of that very early on in the Baptist movement, it was felt that the proper means of baptism was following belief rather than prior to belief. And so at that point, we moved over to what we would call believer's baptism, as opposed from adult baptism, because obviously a young person or a youth could come to full salvation and full belief in Christ.
There's no age range in this, then?
There is no age range, apart from practicalities of young people that have expressed faith. As you know yourself, they could be great changes in their adolescence. We've got to be sure they're not doing it for just their friends are, and be sure that their parents are fully behind that. But the baptism is by those who have professed faith in Christ, and that's then by full immersion.
So you just don't do babies?
No. We have...
You do have...
Infant dedication services. Yeah. That's very much an opportunity for parents to give public thanks to God for their child, to ask God's blessing on the child, and more importantly for the parents to dedicate themselves to Christian parenthood. And so we would certainly do that within the church context.
Is there other beliefs that are slight differences compared with other branches of the Christian church?
I would say primarily was the one we were founded on, which was as a separatist church, where we believe each church is autonomous under God, separate from state. And that was really the reason that the church broke away in the first place in the...
Each congregation wants to be independent.
Each congregation is self-governing. And
but there is a Baptist Union of Scotland.
A Baptist
so how does
Union.
That work?
Baptist Union is really, I suppose the best way is to think of it as an administrative tool of the independent churches. It's a federation of independent churches rather than a denomination which hands down instructions. So it would certainly be an advisory body. It would be a body which could help churches that were struggling financially by other churches that are members putting
the
finances in.
The balance of power is with the local congregation.
Balance of power is always with the local congregation.
Yeah, right. And what about the Lord's Supper? Do you do it every week?
No. No, some churches do. Some Baptist churches do. Again, being autonomous, there can be that flexibility. Some do. In South Beach, we would have twice a month. That's usually the first Sunday of the month would be in the morning service, and the third Sunday of the month would be in the evening service.
So it's a matter of preference, it's not a matter of fundamental beliefs.
It's not a matter of fundamental beliefs, no.
Do you have any other sort of interesting views?
It's always difficult to ask, isn't it, because...
I don't mean just you personally,
no,
the
but
Baptist denomination.
What might be normal to us as a Baptist union might be strange to yourselves.
But you know how in the Christian spectrum, there is a spectrum, and at one end more than the other end, there would be all anti-abortion, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Are you all anti-abortion? You know?
In general, I think the answer to that would be yes. But of course, with the autonomy of Baptist churches, with some question you've got to say, well, how many Baptists are there would give you the answer, because there's so many different answers. Yeah. But in general, we would be very pro-life. In general, we would be very positive on sexual issues as well, on biblical practices within that area. So these would be our general principles that we would hold to. And certainly the Baptist Union would hold those principles because they are the... if you like, the main principles within the constituent churches.
Yeah. And one of the biggest things would be your emphasis on evangelization.
Yeah. Yes, we certainly believe that it is every member of the church's duty to tell others of their own personal walk with Christ and to encourage others to find faith in Christ.
So the next hymn is about someone who found faith in Christ. He was a slave owner who became a Christian and was amazed at God's grace.
That's right. It's one of these mixtures that illustrates some of our worship, in that it's an older hymn, but with a slightly modern twist, as Chris Tomlin's slightly adapted it, and we found this quite a nice rendering of it, of Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. Promise good to me, His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are.
So Vince, we're kind of running out of time. We've come to our last section here. We've been thinking about your Baptist worship, your Baptist beliefs, and how does the beliefs issue in practice? Like, what do you do and what does your congregation do through the week?
Right, well, obviously we have two services on a Sunday, followed by youth fellowship. On a Monday, there's a Campaigners, which is a youth movement, which we have meeting in the evening. Then through the rest of the week, there's house groups on Tuesday nights and Wednesday nights. So it doesn't mean that everybody goes to both of them, but
house groups being Bible studies.
Bible study groups in different houses. We've got about six of them going, plus two youth house groups as well. There's various other activities. There's ladies' meetings on a Wednesday morning and a Wednesday afternoon at certain times of the year. There's badminton for youth badminton and more senior badminton, the ones that creak more than others, you know. And then
yourself as well, you go out and about.
Yes, I'm privileged to go into three schools. I go into Stanley School as part of the chaplaincy team, Ardrossan Academy on the team, and a great privilege to go into James Reed School as well.
And the Ministers Fraternal.
And the Ministers Fraternal, Alec, when I can make it. Thanks for the reminder. Yeah.
So anyway, I'm afraid time's run out on us. It's called the Holy Half Hour for a reason. So thank you very much, Vince, for coming into the 3TFM studio.
Pleasure,
and giving
Alec.
Us a much better understanding and awareness of the Baptist life and worship within the one Christian church. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Alec.
So bye for now, and I'll leave you with Vince's last selection from Songs of Fellowship, Blessed Be Your Name.
Where your streams of abundance flow, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. When I'm found in the desert place, though I walk blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be.